Hello, you lovely lot. I wanted to take a moment to share an exciting announcement with you all. I will be doing a live show for Happy Mum, Happy Baby at the Podcast Show in London on the 22nd of May. This will be a live episode of this very podcast featuring me and a very special, soon to be announced, guest. Get ready for a candid conversation, unfiltered truths, laughs, invaluable non-judgmental advice, and lived experiences. Dive into the complexities of parenting while juggling work, relationships, and personal growth. And we'll be talking beyond the baby years. As well as the live episode, the show will also include a Q&A with both me and my guest. Tickets go on sale this Friday the 26th of April at 10 a.m, but anyone who is part of the Happy Mum Happy Baby newsletter will be getting early access to tickets on Wednesday the 24th of April at 10 a.m. To sign up to the newsletter and for more information about the event, please head to happymumhappybaby.com/events. I can't wait to see you there.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Happy Mum, Happy Baby, the podcast. Today's guest, well, I'm just chuffed that she agreed to do it because she's probably the only person on the list that I asked. I was genuinely worried that she was going to say no, but she said yes.
How could I say no to that face? That smiley, happy face. Who would disappoint?
Please welcome Jo Elden.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I was very pleased to be asked.
Oh, thank you. So obviously you're editor-in-chief of Glamour magazine, which is an amazing magazine. Let's start there.
Yes, let's just commit that to...
Let's put that down.
It's just a fact. No,
it is.
Thank you very much.
But I think it's, you know, we're all very much about women supporting women and mothers supporting mothers and stuff. And I think having a magazine like that that is out there, like even in the issue that I've read recently about, you know, superheroes, what they really look like, and looking at all these different women in, you know, the workplace, and, oh, like, just incredible, actually.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. So, Jo has a daughter called Evie, who is 12. So she's been there. She's been where we all have been. And I've got to say, actually, I have followed Jo on social media for quite a while. She's got the hashtag, Clothes My Husband Hates, which I find hilarious. And I have followed it for a long, long time. And 6 weeks after Buddy was born, I was in the Riding House Cafe. I was having one of those days where I felt amazing. He was 6 weeks old. We were travelling into London. We had a meeting at the Riding House Cafe. Then I had physio and my six-week check. It was all going so well. I saw you. You were sat next to me. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's Jo Elden. I'm not going to say hello, but oh my gosh. Feeling great. On top of the world. Tom took a photo of me, so I knew I was looking good. And it just started going downhill, to be honest. I then realised that my boob was leaking everywhere. And then when we got home, we had a poo in the bath situation. So it just spiralled.
Well, as long as it wasn't yours or Tom's, I think that's perfectly fine.
But then tweeted you, and you tweeted me back, and I was like, yes!
Well, it's so funny, because I remember that day as well, because I knew who you were, and I recognized Tom, and the baby was so cute, and I remember thinking, oh, that's them, and there's the new baby. And I had met Tom before, but I didn't think he would remember at all. And I nearly did launch myself on to have a sniff of the baby, that I just thought, they'll just think you're mental. So I had no idea that you knew who I was. So it was kind of a bit weird.
Yeah. So then you always go to social media and you're like, hi, I saw
know.
You.
Yeah.
It's always one of those things, isn't it? You're like, why didn't you say hello?
I don't know why. I just
no, I mean that to me. Like, why?
Yeah, you should have. Yes. Yeah. But no. Here we are now.
Here we are. Here we are. So Happy Mum, Happy Baby, the podcast, has been born from a book that I wrote called Happy Mum, Happy Baby, in which I shared my own personal experiences of motherhood, like the highs, the lows. I was just very, very honest about feeling judged, pressured, about, breastfeeding and sleep and all those feelings and emotions that come with having a newborn and a child. And I was blown away by the response. And so I thought, there's so much people aren't saying, they're not sharing. So I thought I'd make a podcast where I invite different mums on each week to share their experiences. So you are one of those mums.
Yes. Isn't it weird? Isn't it weird they're all mums? Did you ever think you would see the day?
Well, what sort of mum did you think you were going to be? Did you always want to be a mum?
Yes, I think I did. I didn't have that. You know, some people have got the plan. Some people think, right, by this age, I'll have the job. By this age, I'll have three children. Their names will be, Harry, Kate, and, and I just was never, I kind of just kept thinking, yeah, we'll do that one day. We'll do that. Well, yeah, one day. And then classic career stereotypes at 34, 35, and thought, best get on that if we're going to do that. So we, as somebody said to me, you slipped one in just in time. No hideous pun intended. But so I was 35 when I had my daughter. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I thought I was going to be the most amazing mother ever, who had everything under control and was really cool. And my daughter never questioned my authority, never questioned coming to me with a problem. The television would never be on. We'd sit around discussing the issues of the day over a home-cooked meal that she would definitely love because I'd cooked. So, and obviously, things are a little bit different, but it kind of works. And I still love her. You can't imagine, can you, how much you love them. You just have no concept of what that feels like.
Mm.
And that's what I find, it's almost like having a permanent crush on somebody,
it really is.
And so I love that. And no matter how much she challenges me and, all the things that you worry about, you just love them so much, don't you? So, yeah, I think I'm an okay mum.
Well, that's nice.
I'm okay.
Yeah. I think that's probably what we all are, really.
I'm sure I don't get it all right. I'm sure I get some things right. And I don't know. Maybe we should ask her. But then I kind of don't want to know. So, yeah.
How did you feel straight away? Because it must have been such a change for you, going from being the head of an office, completely in control of, what's going on in the world of glamour, to suddenly being at home with this newborn, this tiny little thing, but just doesn't comply with any rules.
Oh, my God. Gee, you've hit the nail on the head. It was that control. That was the word. It was like, I'd been editing Glamour and other magazines. I'd been the editor of Glamour for 5 years by this point. And, I knew what I was doing. It was great at work. I kind of felt like most of the time I knew what I was doing. I never felt like I knew what I was doing with a newborn. I questioned all my own decisions. If she was crying, I felt like I could never work out exactly why. I was with my friend Dawn last night, who has a newborn, and she said, I can just tell now. I can tell what that cry means. I was never any good at deciphering those things. I worried. I yelled at my husband on the phone about 5 times a day, just for no reason at all, really. And I suppose when I look back now, I knew that it would be different. Coming from Australia as well, all my friends are people I've met at work.
Right.
So they're all at work.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have that old school gang of girlfriends to hang out with that some people do when they have their baby. I didn't join an NCT group. And I did feel pretty isolated, actually. And it was that newborn phase definitely was a real blow to my confidence.
Right.
And, it's like it almost felt like even just getting out the door felt like such an achievement. And I'd always forget something like, I'd be out for half an hour and think, God, I didn't even look at myself before I left the house. What the hell do I look like?
But Evie looks great. So.
Yeah. Well, no. And then, and I do things like the first time you'd think, okay, she needs a nappy change. All right, let's just wheel this ridiculous sized buggy into this tiny toilet in M&S. And then at that point realize, oh yeah, you should have brought some nappies out with you. You know, it was just stuff like that all the time. So I kind of did become a bit afraid to leave the house for a little while.
Right.
If I'm honest. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And did you find then when you were out, did you feel judged from other people? Because I had a
sometimes,
thing where
if
the boys cried, literally mum sweats and not being able to cope.
I mean, it's most people are nice, but then even I get really annoyed as well. Like the baby would be crying. And even if someone wasn't judging it, they'd just go, oh, she's hungry. And it's like, yeah, I haven't heard that 500 effing times
she's
already
just been
today.
Fed.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, and it's funny. It's like, it's absolutely amazing that people feel that it's fine to say anything.
Mm.
You know, like I was sort of like out of the house one day. And again, because it was, I didn't like leaving the house. It just felt too stressful. And there was one day when I did, and this woman just walked past me in the street and said, oh, look at that baby with the sun in her eyes. I mean, why could, you know, you should be, do you know what I mean? It's like,
no.
It's just stuff like that would happen when you went out. So all the time I think, oh, no, just don't go out. Just don't go out. But yeah. But luckily, babies grow and they become a little bit less mystifying when, you know, they can tell you what's going on. And,
how long do you reckon you sort of stayed inside for? Well, how long was it until you felt more confident to go out?
Well, I would say definitely 3 or 4 months, because she was also quite a colicky baby.
Right.
So she wasn't sleeping very well at night. So I was shattered for a long time. And I do remember, poor kid, I think she was about 4 weeks old. And I said to my husband, do you remember the reason we did this? I was like, why did we do this? He was like, I don't know. You know, I mean, we love her more than anything, but it was so hard. And I think the turning point was, and it's really interesting, you know, how much you take family support for granted.
Mm.
But again, from Australia, I was feeling very guilty that my parents hadn't had any time with their new, and at that point only, grandchild.
Right.
And so we bit the bullet and got on that long haul flight to Sydney with our baby, and she would have been about 5 months old. And I think a bit of it is she was growing up, but I think it was I had all this help all of a sudden in the house. So overnight she kind of became this angelic clockwork baby who you'd put her down at 7 p.m. and she'd look at you and smile and drift off to sleep and wake up again at 7 a.m. You know, and so. And I think somebody said to me, you know, that's not a coincidence. It's like, you know, they can tell when you're not stressed. And suddenly there was just all this support. And that changed everything for me and I think for her.
Yeah. Also think there's that thing at 5 months where they suddenly start showing a little bit of personality and they give you so much more back. It does feel like more of an interaction.
Yeah. Oh, to be honest with you, I always got those moments of joy. I mean, she smiled very young and all of those things. I think it's, I mean, really, frankly, the key is when you can get some solid food down that neck.
Yeah.
That's it. The belly is full. You know how much they've eaten and they sleep.
Yeah.
You know, it's like she was doing that really cheeky thing of falling asleep after 5 minutes of breastfeeding and then wanting some more an hour later.
Right.
It was like, listen, girl, this is like, you know, that was tough.
But, yeah. How did you find the breastfeeding?
Fine, actually. I was very lucky. I didn't really have any problems. You know, I know some people find it difficult to do, but she was good at it and I was good at it. But that was frustrating. Just, well, how much? It's almost like you need them to be transparent so you can see the liquid going down or not.
Mm-hmm.
That was fine. And I think that I needed to go back to work in 6 or 7 months. So I did it for about 6 months.
Mm.
And it was a real sort of like bittersweet thing of like, oh, you know, freedom. But it was kind of sad as well, because there is nothing like that bond. It's true. Yeah.
It took me a long time to find that bond.
Yeah,
because
really.
I think I was so focused on getting it right and it wasn't working.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is meant to be a really special time.
Well, you know, and the one thing I would say is the theme for my whole, as much as it's like, the downside was I got pretty lonely and isolated at times. Mm. I do think there was a huge advantage in me not being plugged into that system of tons of midwives and NCT people saying, you should be doing it this way and you should be doing it that way. And so I kind of just had to find my way. So I didn't have that voice going, oh, that's not how you're supposed to do it. Or do you know what I mean? And I don't know. So I had a different experience around things like breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I hadn't been able to do it, I don't think I would have been traumatized by it at all, to be honest.
Mm.
So yeah,
it's funny, isn't it? I think maybe now with social media there's it's just another place to judge, isn't it?
Yes.
So you're putting it out there feeling like, or people might. I had it with dummies. You know, I had this Wilby thing. I was like, I'm not going to go there.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he needed that. Actually, I kind of was like, he is actually going to have a dummy.
But this is what I mean, going back to, oh, I'm going to be the best mother ever. Yeah. I'm not going to do this and I'm going to do that. And it's like the first time you've got an emergency and a needs must situation, you're like, oh my God, have a dummy. Have a dummy. Have a chainsaw if that's what's going to shut you up just for the next 10 minutes. So, yeah.
Mama's got to sleep. Mama's got to think.
Yeah. So I'm afraid, you know, it's like, and it, I do find it's like, it's my friends and people who don't have children, and I'm sure I did exactly the same thing. You say, well, my kid's not going to go on social media. I'm not buying my kid an iPad. Yeah, come back and see me in 5 years. Yeah, but anyway, yeah.
So you started to get easier for you at 5 months?
I think so, yeah. And then, you know, it's, again, bittersweet. I went back to work when she was about 7 months, and I can't lie, you know, finishing a cup of coffee was sort of, I had a newfound appreciation for sitting at my desk, because then it meant I didn't take the time with her for granted either. Mm. So I was looking forward to going to work and having that identity back. But then I was rushing home because I couldn't wait to do bath time.
Right.
So I feel like for me, that was sort of the best of both worlds.
When you first went back to work, did you feel that having that time away and becoming a mum changed you in any way within that space?
Well, I think it's probably what everybody says. It's just you haven't got time to piss around, basically. Mm. You know, you've just got to be, it's, you go to work and you're not the fun person who says, let's all go to the pub after work, because you can't be spontaneous anymore,
yeah.
You know, and you have to get your work done because you have to go at a certain time. And I have to put my hand up. I was very guilty of not understanding that until I had a child.
Mm.
I would never say anything, but I used to sort of like have a silent rankle to myself if somebody left at 5:30 on the dot and be like,
oh, really?
Yeah. Because I just didn't get it.
Yeah.
And now I get it, you know, and in some people's cases, that's because you're paying a penalty if you're late to the nursery.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know that stuff until you're a parent. So, but it just, it forces you to try to be efficient. And, you know, there's all the, you do end up apologizing profusely to everybody and having to leave early for a school play or something, and then trying to read emails on the train or whatever, you know. So you just, it's the constant juggle, isn't it?
Body confidence is a big thing that's come up quite a few times with various people. How did you feel, like, body-wise after you had Evie?
Well, you know, let me think about this. How did I feel? It's not something I think about a lot, if I'm honest.
Right.
I'm quite slim. I've been lucky that I always have been. I put on a fair amount. I mean, you know, she came out nearly 9 pounds. So
ooh,
that's you know, that's a home of the whopper sort of a thing. But let me think. I did snap back quite quickly.
Mm.
Sorry. I know people don't like it when you say things like that. I'll never forget my midwife, this lovely African woman, because sort of, I kept saying to her, because I had some blood pressure problems
right
during the birth and all that sort of thing. And she was coming on and saying, I feel dreadful. And I'm telling you, my thighs are enormous. I don't know if my feet are big. She was just saying, you know, don't be ridiculous. And I think it was about 5 days after I gave birth, she came around to see me at home and she went, there was no light between your thighs and now there is light. And I was like, I told you they were ridiculous. I told you. Because it's like the minute she was out of me, it, like all the water,
like
everything
water
went,
tension, yeah.
It was unbelievable. So because I knew I looked horrendous, I didn't go near a scale. I just didn't.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And that's
know.
The thing, isn't it? It's all about what's relative to you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because some people will be like, oh, stop moaning. There's hardly anything of you.
Yeah.
But you know what you look like.
No. I'd never had the sensation before of, like, it being difficult to walk because one thigh couldn't get past.
I mean,
Joe,
that's my everyday, but
no,
come
it
on.
Isn't. But no, I that was like whoa, and that they were sort of like they were hurting when I walked, and so yeah, I mean, I didn't love being pregnant. I'll
didn't
be honest.
You?
No, I really. These women who glow, just keep it to yourself because I hated it. I really wanted a baby, but I couldn't wait to not be pregnant.
Really?
Oh my God.
Were you really sick or?
I just felt pretty crap the whole time. And it was no sort of like, from what I'm hearing about what our dear Duchess has, that sounds absolutely horrendous. It's nothing like that. Just crappy enough every day for 9 months. Like I kept Gaviscon in business. I don't know. I just felt like a big old, like, ugly lump, basically.
Did you enjoy any of it?
No. No, I didn't. And it's awful. It's like, you know, and I think it's one of those things you're not really supposed to say, isn't it? You're supposed to say, oh, what a magical time. Actually, no. The one thing I did enjoy was the kicking.
Right.
It was like, there's a person in there. There's an end goal, you know. Yeah.
Did you ever think about doing it again?
Yes, we did. It just kind of, you know what, it didn't work out. It's so funny. I was talking about this last night. I would have, because I was with my friend who's got her second baby. Oh, and I miss the baby.
Oh.
After everything I've said, that's probably quite surprising. But they're so cute, right? They're so lovely. And it's amazing, just that new little face. And
I think
all
especially when you're visiting someone else's, you just hold them for an hour or two. And,
that's it.
Oh, it's just so lovely.
And he went to bed at 7 o'clock, you know, like a good little boy. But it just, we tried. It just didn't work out. Mm. And it's not something that, you know, if it had happened, it would have been great. But it's not a big hole in my life.
Yeah.
That it didn't, which is fine. You know, some people don't get one.
Yeah.
And now that I clearly don't look of childbearing age anymore, nobody asks me about it. But when I was, when she was a baby, I mean, some of the things that people used to say, it was just, so I'm glad we're past the point where for whatever reason, people have assumed, oh, okay, so they're just having the one.
Right.
But it used to be, oh, you've got to give her a brother or sister. It's cruel. Mm. It's I had somebody tell me I was committing a form of child abuse by having one child.
No.
And I just thought, how do you know I haven't had 10 miscarriages? Yeah. Trying, you know, I haven't, thank God. But, you know, it's like, it's another place where, and pregnancy really brings it out in people, where everyone feels this sense of entitlement to say what they want about your body and your decisions. That used to really upset me.
Yeah.
But, you know, as I say, now I look far too old to have children, so nobody says anything anymore.
No, I think once you say your child's 12, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, exactly. Yeah, you're done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think once you have one, people just think, well, obviously you can have children. People don't even realize that. Actually, people can have complications after having one, and then they've got to go through IVF, even though they had the first baby naturally. And
exactly, so that's why you just don't know. You don't know. So, and I also, unless it's your mother or somebody like that, why do you want to know? That's the other thing that I don't really understand. What is my answer on this gonna do for you? You know, it's really weird.
It's hard, isn't it? Because part of me thinks that we should actually be able to talk about it, though.
Right.
Because, you know, a few friends of mine have gone through, I've had a miscarriage, a few friends have gone through IVF.
Yeah.
And the more that it's spoken about, and personal.
I completely agree with you, but that's you initiate that conversation.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, totally.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I don't think it's anyone's place without knowing your history to ask about that. If you want to talk about that, fantastic.
Especially strangers in the supermarket.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and they do.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah, anyway. Mm.
Working in women's magazines, there's obviously this huge, I would assume, a huge pressure on fashion. And there's that saying, dress like a mum. And there's an amazing blogger actually on Instagram who's called Dress Like a Mum. It's amazing. Do you feel any pressure when it comes to fashion?
I do when it comes, we're just about to go into London Fashion Week. And I do think then about what I'm going to wear, just because everybody is checking everybody else out. And you just, it does feel slightly like high school. You just, I don't need to be photographed and lauded on style blogs for what I'm wearing at all, but I don't want to be pointed and laughed at either. I don't want to clock somebody looking at me and getting that little flicker of their face going, oh, she shouldn't have done that, you know. So I just want to get away with it, you know. So that's what I'm always looking to do for fashion weeks. But any other time of the year, I think you can't really do a job like mine if you don't enjoy clothes and getting dressed. And I think that it took me, I think I was probably like late 20s before I found my style confidence. So now that I feel like I know what I like wearing and I know what suits me, I really enjoy getting dressed every day. It's fun.
Yeah.
And my aim is that if you read Glamour, you just get ideas to make it fun for you. We're not a dictatorial magazine in that way. There's a lot of different ways. I always find it funny that, you know, the school mums will say to me, so what should I buy? What's the style? What's the colour? And I don't ever really have an answer for that. I'm like, oh, well, you know, I mean, red's big this year, but then so's pink and purple. And, you know, well, yeah, tight jeans are really good, but so are baggy ones, you know. Yeah. So it really, there's so much choice out there. It's just finding what you feel good in. And like, that's a whole, I haven't seen Dress Like a Mum. I'll have to have a look at that. But I also speak to mums, and I get a few emails into the magazine that say, well, of course, now that I'm a mum, I can't wear that. And it's like, that's crazy. Of course you can. Of course you
can't wear mum jeans anymore because they make you feel like a mumsy. It's so crazy.
I can't wear mum jeans since the time I used to love them because they're so comfortable. And then I just happened to see a photograph my husband had taken of my back view. I was in the picture from, you know, and I just said, why did you not tell me I look like I've got four bums in those jeans? So he hadn't even really looked. And I was like, oh my God. That is so, yeah, mum jeans are not for me, ironically, as a mum. Yeah.
Aww. Yeah. How did getting pregnant affect your style?
Yeah, well, that was, yeah, because once you, the first time, it's tough, right? You don't know what the hell you're doing.
No.
I think I wore maternity jeans everywhere, and Whisperer, I think I wore them about 3 months after I had a baby as well. Because yes. I really miss those maternity jeans. How great are they?
Whip them out, Jo.
I got I spent a lot of money on two good pairs of jeans with a good cut and flat shoes, obviously. And just lots of, at the time, because I still had to do things like go to the shows, and then that was weird. And Marnie, the label, did a lot of Empire Line tops. So I wore a lot of those. They had one that had a bit of rope that you could just let out as your bump got bigger. And then the big thing, though, was I was 8.5 months pregnant when I had to do the Glamour Women of the Year Awards.
Right.
And Prada, custom made me a dress, which was
wow.
I mean, it's just like getting to, I don't know, the idea that they made you a dress, but it's for when you're pregnant.
Yeah.
So now it's, I can't wear it ever again. You know, it's just like, it's just, and it is, it's like, it's a size 14 when I'm normally a size 10. It's got a big sort of like billowing bit where your stomach goes. I'm never going to, you know, you can't even sort of like tailor that to.
And also it's so special and like it's yours, so you don't want to lend it to anyone.
I know, but it wouldn't fit anyone else. It was like a sausage skin sort of like, it was properly bespoke.
Really?
I know, what a treat. But
that's amazing.
Yeah, so that was, but I still, I, you know, felt like a whale, obviously.
Were there parts of it though where you felt, in the pregnancy, where you felt great, like your body was doing an amazing thing, or did you just feel the whole time?
Oh,
like...
no, it was fascinating.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely fascinating. And I loved it as a science experiment, you know, like, do you know, I don't know, when the first time you got pregnant, or maybe even the second time, I remember thinking, God, so that actually works. You have sex and that happens. That's extraordinary. You know, like, you do feel like world's first mum, don't you?
Yeah, you do.
But so, yeah, I just felt lousy the whole time, but I was really excited and, you know, did things like, I think I went clothes shopping when I was about 7 weeks pregnant, you know, like for the baby.
Really?
You know, it was ridiculous. Oh. So stuff like that. I was really excited about having a child.
Yeah.
Just couldn't wait to get that really hideous 9 months out the way.
Yeah. I know we talked about classes. I know you didn't do any NCT, but did you join any classes once Evie was born?
I did things like, I remember we went to Caterpillar Music, and because I knew that I was really isolating myself and I had to get out of the house, and I think she was about 5 weeks old when I took her to Caterpillar Music.
And she loved it.
Oh yeah, she was like, really? Yeah. And so, and I remember I wasn't the only one, thank God, but there was a few of us holding our babies, running in and out of the circle for the hokey cokey. And I was just thinking, this is absolutely ludicrous. So I sort of like scurried away from there. And when she was about 3 months old, I phoned them and said, oh, no, I didn't come, but I'd love to come back. And they said, oh, how is Evie? We miss her. And I just thought, aww. What, that five-week-old blob that was like just sort of like spewing and pooing everywhere while I did the hokey-cokey. But so, yeah, I can't remember what the question was. Sorry.
No, about clubs. Going to, yeah. Did you go back to them?
I did, yes. But I didn't. I did actually try to go to my local NCT group one time, again, thinking, no, come on, stop sitting around being lonely. Go out, yeah. Get over yourself and go and meet people. And I phoned them, you know, you get the little booklet that tells you all the little things going on in the area. And I phoned the woman and said, oh, I'd love to come to this tea you've got. She said, oh, darling, it's such a bore. I have to get my basement done now, but give me your number. And when I rearrange it, I'll call you. And she just never called back. So I gave up on that.
But you think
one.
For some mums as well, that would be their one place.
I know,
kind of,
devastating. I was too scared to ring again and say, have you finished your basement yet? You know,
please help me.
You don't want to be that person, you know.
So you went to the Caterpillar classes, and then did you stick with them for quite a while?
A little bit, yeah.
Did you make mum friends?
Not really, no. I mean, it wasn't unfriendly, but I don't know. Again, it was like the thing where, and it's where I realised you really shot yourself in the foot not doing the NCTs, because a lot of these people had obviously been through a lot together and knew each other. So it felt a bit high school-y. It felt a bit, you know, I was always friendly and everything, but I never really connected with anybody there. And I don't know, I don't want to slag off those mums as if some sort of Mean Girls thing, because I don't know if I was just giving off a weird, scared vibe.
Well, I think
do you know what I mean?
People are in a weird, place at that point, because like for me, all I was thinking about the fact that Buzz was going to cry in the early days,
right,
and, you know, that was going to, I was going to be a bad, look like awful
and
mum.
Isn't it weird how much that stresses you out? And it doesn't stress me out when other people's kids cry. But although there was when the time we flew to Sydney and we were just waiting to take off and Evie cried, and they do when, you know, so you're taking off and this woman was sitting next to me, she'd been crying for about 2 minutes and this woman went, oh. And I said, love, it's going to get a lot worse than this. So I'd sort of like cool your jets for now. And that shut her up. And then this other man next to me went, babies cry. Don't worry about it.
So good.
You're right, they do. I can't help it. You know,
I know we were talking earlier about, you know, what people say to you. I actually have had two things. So when we went to Australia once, I was with some other friends. I was with Izzy and Georgia, who are the other McFly wives. And we were all going to Australia to see the guys. But Buzz was my child. He was my responsibility. So I kind of felt the pressure of having him on my own. And it was a night flight. Well, we started off in the nighttime. And Buzz, bless him, went to sleep straight away. I breastfed and on takeoff, he was asleep before we flew.
Yeah.
And it was all going really, really well. And then he wouldn't go down in the carrier and he just screamed his head off. And he screamed for about 45 minutes. And me in the hallway trying to get him to go back to sleep. And then I put him back down. He started crying. I picked him up. And I just felt that all eyes were on me.
Oh, it's horrible. And I bet they weren't. I bet maybe one or two. But
I just felt like I could feel the tutting and everything. And then at that point, Izzy scooped him up and was like, take a moment. And I just cried. Oh. And then I took about 30 seconds and I was like, it's fine. If he wants to sleep on me, if that's all he wants, it's absolutely fine. But then after I cried, I had loads of different people come up to me, like whether they saw me in the loo or ever, and were like, you're doing a really good job.
God, that would have made me cry again.
I know.
I'm almost crying now.
But I think when you're going through it, you kind of feel like everyone's looking at you and going, you're shit.
I know.
You are rubbish.
I know.
But they're not.
It's true, and it's all in your head, and I think that's what I was taking that to Caterpillar Music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just crazy. You're just like thinking, I'm a successful businesswoman who manages 40 people and one of the biggest selling magazines, but I'm scared of Caterpillar Music. It's like those mean girls at Caterpillar Music.
It must have been such a weird time for you, that.
It was. It was weird, and it's funny now that it's, you know what? Anybody with new babies or sort of like young toddlers, I sat in a cafe yesterday and watched my daughter walk up the hill with her friend to school because I had all this extra time because I don't have to help her. And I just thought, it's such a cliche, but my God, where did that time go?
Yeah.
I always say to her, where did that baby go? Did you eat that baby? And she says, where did that 30-year-old go? Thanks.
You've done this to me.
She's a fresh mouth on her, that one. But yeah, anyway.
So, Do, I finish the podcast with three different sentences. I'll start them and you finish them.
I'm really bad at this.
You'll
be always
fine.
Bad at these, but I'll give it a go. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Being a mum means?
being a mum means, oh God, I told you, I'm going to stumble already because I feel such pressure to say the exact right thing.
No, just say whatever you feel in the moment.
Being a mum means always being in a hurry and always feeling like you don't know what you're doing, but I don't know, somehow it all kind of works out.
Nice. Since having a child,
I have had to learn, and I've become more patient. It's the huge gift it's given me is more patience and more tolerance. Not all the time, but I used to be absolutely appalling with patience.
Does that travel over into work?
I hope so. I don't feel like I don't, you'd have to ask them, but
now you're in a hurry, so like, I've got patience, but if you could just hurry up, please.
No, but you're always, with having children, it's always their agenda, isn't it?
Mm.
And their timetable. So I've kind of had to learn just to go with it.
Yeah. And finally, I'm happy when?
I'm happy when my family's happy, I think. Mm. I just, you know, and I'm happy. It doesn't actually take much for me to be happy.
Mm.
I've kind of learnt to appreciate that, you know, there's no such thing as a really great day or a really bad day. Everything has like little bits that are great and bad. And, you know, and you just have to take the good where you find it. And that can be something so small. So I'm happy when I'm appreciating sort of like the here and now of any particular thing.
I love it.
I told you I'm bad at that game.
No, you were great. You were great. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Not at all. It's been so good to have you on. And I think you're so different to a lot of the other women that we're talking to. So it's great. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.